Really good to be with you today. Appreciate the attendance of everyone. Even though it's a rainy day out there, I'm glad you took the time to come out to worship God and study from His Word. This morning I want to talk with you a little bit about the Christian hope. On Wednesday night, we just finished studying the book of Ephesians this past quarter. Very interesting book. There's a lot there, a lot to be learned. And I want to read again from Ephesians 2:11 through 13. As Paul writes to these Ephesian brethren, he says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." When we look back in the beginning of chapter 2, we find that these Ephesians who had been dead in trespasses and sin, of course, death in the spiritual sense means that we're separated from God by the guilt of our own sins. He says in verse 2, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of there, the spirit that now worketh the children of disobedience." And you notice verse 3, he says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation or our conduct in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." In other words, we all been there. We've all done that. We've all sinned. We've all need forgiveness. The idea that these Ephesian Christians, before they become Christians, had no hope. Now, that's a serious thing when you don't have hope. Because I want you to notice, let's go back to the book of Genesis and look at Genesis 3:17 and see what sin brought about. Genesis 3 and verse 17, we find that, of course, by this time, Adam and Eve had sinned. The devil had deceived Eve. And in verse 17, he says unto Adam, he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And in the sweat of the face of thou shalt eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." This idea of God placing the curse on the ground and upon, and the reality is that we live in a world today that is full of sorrow, death, suffering, diseases, hardships. Sister Kay had to leave this morning because of her mother. They called a hospice nurse to come in. She'd been under hospice. But, you know, that's a terrible time for us to live thinking about we have no hope. But the Christian has hope, and that's important. That's the worst thing that we could ever think about, is to go to bed at night knowing that we don't have hope, that we are separated from God by the guilt of our own sins, or either to wake up having no hope, not knowing what will happen today, not knowing what kind of tragedy will come upon us, whether we will be injured, whether we will die, or whether we might lose family members. It is a terrible thing. You know, when we think about hope, the definition of hope, if we put it in a real simple explanation, it is a desire with expectation. We got a desire to serve the Lord, to be with the Lord, to be resurrected from the dead, and we expect that. We expect to go to heaven. We should all live our lives every day in the way that if we die, that we would go to be with the Lord. That's what Paul said. He desired to depart from that body, to put off that tent, to go be with the Lord. He said, which is far better. Now, there's a lot of people that desire to go, but the reality is they really don't expect to go. Knowing that if they pass, because they know the truth, they haven't obeyed the truth. But we think about that desire plus expectation. And that's so very important. You know, and we don't expect that because we're so good, but because our God is good, because our God has planned the way. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only. He has provided a way for us. And it's not because we find that we are saved by grace through faith. Grace is God's part. Without God's grace, without his mercy, we would have no hope. He's provided the way, but we must accept that and be obedient to that. You know, we as Christians have hope because of Christ's blood. Now, we sang a song a little while ago. Notice in Hebrews 6 and verse 19. The Hebrew writer writes, and I was thinking about this as we sung the song a little while ago. He says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into the veil. And, of course, that anchor that we have is we are attached to Christ. Now, when we really think about an anchor holds something in place. Now, I will bring up Harold Bastian's name. He worked with me at the mill, and this other guy carried him fishing over there at Lake Watery. Now, this river run, it runs all the time over here going through Lugoff, and they were over there fishing, and they had the anchor out to hold the boat straight where they could fish. Well, I don't know how much y'all know about Lake Watery, but when they open up five wheels up there at the dam, there is literally a wall of water that comes down. And I've heard people say, well, I've been at the dam when they open up, and you better be backing up. But it rumbles, and it's just, it looks like a tidal wave coming. And Johnny said he'd experienced that a lot of times. But he showed Harold, he was way up the river. He said, look, come in yonder. He said, Harold, he got up. He's about to jump out of the boat. No. Just sit down. He said, take that rope. He was sitting in the front of the boat. He said, take that rope and just let it off and get some length out there. And he said, that anchor held that boat completely straight. And when that wall of water, it just kind of floated right on up on top of it. And then anchor is very important. Well, Christ is our anchor. We have an anchor of the soul. Now, if we let go of our anchor, what's going to happen to us? It's very important that we think about this. You know, the anchor holds us with all of the world, with the fleshly lust, with all of the devil, the worldly things, the things that goes on. It, you know, we are able to go through heartache. We are able to go through pain. We are able to go through suffering and death because we have a hope. No matter what happens, we got a hope. And when we think about the description of hope, the hope we have in Christ, the hope of our salvation. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 8. And Paul writes to them and he says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. A helmet of salvation. The helmet is the thing that protects your head, one of the most vulnerable parts of your body. But that helmet of salvation, which is hope. And we just studied about the taking on the whole armor of God from the Ephesian letter. In chapter 6, we talked about all of these different things that we are to take upon us. It is the idea of being rescued. It is the idea of being saved or delivered. Notice in Romans 7 and in verse 24. Romans 7 and verse 24, as Paul writes unto the Roman Christians. And he says here, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul remembered the things that he had done when he was Saul. He had persecuted the church, even had part in putting Christians to death. And he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And of course, it was Christ. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We are all plagued by sin, temptation, desires every day, but the Lord can deliver us from that if we will just hold on. Now, we think about the hope of the resurrection. Notice Acts 23 and in verse 6. Acts 23 and verse 6. And we were talking about some this morning about all of the things that these apostles went through. We find in Acts 23 and verse 6 that he says, but when Paul perceived that one part was of the Sadducees and the others the Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called into question. It was the same thing that Peter and those were called into question about the resurrection of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died on the cross, that he resurrected from the dead. There is more evidence than we can ever put our finger on, proving that over and over and over by scriptures, and not only that, but by historical facts. People that lived during that time that wrote other articles about that. So Paul, he knew that these Pharisees and Sadducees, they were divided. The Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. So Paul kind of used that to set them at odds one to another. But he preached the resurrection of Jesus, that this old body is going to die. Every one of us in here, we are going to die. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed to men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We need to ask ourselves, are we ready for the judgment? Because we're going to die. That's a surety. You know, we think about this old body is going to die. It's going to be put in the cemetery. The idea of a cemetery, that Greek word for cemetery, which is koimen, if I'm pronouncing that right, is described as a sleeping chamber. It's to put to sleep. You know, Jesus used that term talking about he's sleeping. He was really talking about he was dead. But the cemetery is where we go. But that is the fleshly body. Now, we don't intend to stay there forever because Jesus is going to come back. And that's the hope that we have. And we're going to be raised a spiritual body. We'll be raised. Notice in John 5 in verse 28. John 5 in verse 28, we find that Jesus points out something here that's very important. He says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming into which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There's two choices there, resurrection unto life or to the resurrection of damnation. We really choose. If we know the truth, we choose where we're going to spend eternity. I want you to notice Titus 1 and in verse 2. As Paul wrote to Titus, Titus 1 and in verse 2. And he says, you're in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You know, we read about the eternal purpose in Ephesians 3, the eternal purpose of God. The church was an eternal purpose that he planned even before the creation of the world. The church is the body of Christ. It is so important that we understand this. It describes the hope that we have. It don't matter how bad things get here. I know we go through some terrible times here. Each one of us, we suffer. We suffer from sickness, diseases, just all kinds of tragedies, death, loss of loved ones. But, you know, we think about if we are Christian, We're going to get over all of that. Revelation letter talks about no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. That should be our goal. That should be what we are aiming for, to have that everlasting life. Raised from the dead. That hope, going to live again. That's something that's promised by God. You know, knowing that things is going to get better in time to come. Even if I die, it's going to get better. That's the hope that the Christian has. You know, a lot of times we may make promises to our children, if sometimes we fail a lot of times in our promises. We should be true to our word in everything that we say, but a lot of times our intent is that we fail in our promise. But God, that cannot lie. God has promised us eternal life. God is our source. He can't lie. It's revealed to us through the gospel. You know, it's a good thing to see a Christian's Bible that's kind of worn and used and got a lot of palm oil on it, you know, and got it softened up and where you can go with it. That's a good thing because it means that they are into that Bible. I'm so glad that Brent, when he come, started this daily Bible reading. And if you're not in this daily Bible reading thing, it's New Year is a perfect time next Wednesday to start out with a new year. And since Brent's been here, I think I've read through the Bible 7 times. Excuse me. And it's amazing. I hear Gary say this all the time. You read and you get something that you missed earlier. It's just like watching a movie. You can go back through it and you see something. Oh, I understand now. I see. This makes sense. And that's the way God reveals His message through His Word. And it's so good. So it's good to see a Bible that's just really wore out. Notice in Colossians 1 and verse 23. Colossians 1 and verse 23, Paul writes to the church at Colossae and he says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. You know, the Colossian letter was written about 62 A.D. And by that time, the gospel had been spread throughout the known world of that time that every creature knew about the gospel and had heard about that. And we need to study the Bible. We need to tell others. I'm so glad that Chris come back. He made his mind to come back and repent. We've been talking on the phone and stuff. And I'm going to tell you, it takes courage to come back when you fall away from the Lord. I had to do that many years ago. And it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to obey the gospel for the first time. Just to do that, you know. But if you don't do it, you think about what's going to happen. And the idea is that we are possessors of hope. Who has this hope? Not everybody, but everybody could. Everybody could have this hope. Jesus shed His blood for the sins of the whole world. And everybody could have this hope if they would just come to obedience to Christ. We have to think about the importance of teaching. And I had to say for Chris, back when he was serving the Lord, he taught a lot of people. He got at least 2 Bible studies that me and him worked on. Because he goes out, he talks to people about the gospel. The gospel is God's power unto salvation. We need to uphold that. That's our hope. We need to give them hope. We need to let them know that Jesus died for you too. It is a gospel of love. It's about salvation. Everybody could have this hope, but sadly, everybody don't. You remember these Ephesians back in Ephesians 2:12, as he talked about them. Their before life, having no hope. I'm going to tell you, that is a pitiful condition to be in, not to have hope. Jesus died that all could be saved. I want you to notice in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 13. And Paul writes here, he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." The Lord's coming back. One place in the book of Jude said he's coming back with 10,000 saints. The idea that he is coming back, but, you know, the ones that die outside the Lord, they have no hope. It is a sad situation. I want to tell you, it's kind of hard to do a funeral for somebody that you know is not a Christian. And I've had to take part in that a time or two through the years. I had an uncle that way. I know he wasn't a Christian. He had no desire to be a Christian. And yet, the family asked me to help in his, well, I actually did his funeral. But what do you say? What do you say? So many of these denominational preachers, they get up there and they'll read all of the scriptures that apply to a sound, faithful Christian and apply it to a drunkard, a fornicator, a liar. And the reality is, if these people are not serving the Lord, they don't have that hope. It is a sad situation. You know, and we need to think about the seriousness of that. Those who are in Christ, how do we get into Christ? Well, we can't believe into Christ. We can't repent into Christ. We can't confess into Christ. The only way is to be baptized into Christ. Notice in Romans 6, 3 and 4. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, as Paul writes to the Romans, he said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." That is when the newness begins, when we are raised up. We are born again, as Jesus talked to Nicodemus back in John 3 in verses 3 through 5. And the religious world, they frown at that. We think about also Galatians 3 in verse 27. Galatians 3 in verse 27, as Paul writes to the church at Galatia. And he says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now I tell you what, the religious world, they can laugh, they can mock, they can frown, they can cry, and they can deny all they want to that baptism has anything to do with salvation, but that is the facts. As I studied with the Baptist preacher a while back, a year or so ago, and he got so mad with me that he run me off. Get out of my house. He called me the devil. He said that I was the devil, that I was demonic, that I was going to hell, because I believe that baptism is essential. Jesus surely made it essential, Mark 16:16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." That was based upon preaching the gospel in verse 15. Even a school teacher told me one time, she said, "Oh, I'll never believe that baptism has anything to do with salvation." And I told her, I said, "Well, you a school teacher." I said, "What is the word and?" "Oh, that's a coordinating conjunction." I said, "Well, what does that mean?" A school teacher now. "What does that mean?" She said, "Well, it adds two things together and makes them equally important." I said, "So when Jesus said, 'He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved,' oh, I'll never believe baptism has anything to do with salvation." That woman's dead now. She passed away. The reality of even school teachers that knows better, and because the problem is they've been taught a lie and heard a lie 1,000 times, and when they see the truth, and it was just like in Gary's lesson this morning in our Bible class of the Sadducees and these people that rejected Even to the point, we can't deny that he done a notable deed. Only God can do these miracles. Nicodemus, he understood that back in John 3. When he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him. They saw miracles and yet they reject. You know, baptism is the only way to get into Christ. If you hadn't been baptized, you don't have this hope. You're not walking in newness of life. Somebody's got to try to figure out what to say at your funeral, which is sad. Christ must be in us if we have this hope. Notice in Colossians 1 and verse 27. Colossians 1 and verse 27. And the apostle writes here, and he says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You notice that phrase, Christ in you, the hope of salvation. Galatians 2:20, Paul talked about that he was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And the life that he now lived, he lived by the faith of the Son of God that loved him and gave himself for him. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, Paul, even writing to these saints at Corinth, said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you except you be reprobate? So not only are we to be in Christ, Christ is to be in us. Notice in Galatians 3 and verse 17, he talks about Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. We're to be rooted and grounded in Christ. That is important. We have obligations of the hopeful. You and me as Christians, every day when we wake up, no matter what our circumstance, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice that the Lord has forgiven my sins. Rejoice that we have the promise of everlasting life, the hope that we're going to be raised from the dead. That is promises that God made. And as Titus 1:2 said, that God cannot lie. Everything that God ever promised has come to pass. I want you to notice in Romans 12 and in verse 12. Romans 12 and verse 12. And he says, you rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So we are supposed to rejoice even in tribulation. No matter what happens, we rejoice in this hope. Something better. Something better is going to come. Notice 1 John 3 and verse 3. 1 John 3 and in verse 3. And John writes, he says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. This idea that, you know, Jesus was manifest. My daughter just gave me a coffee cup. And it says on there, I'm a child of God. And it has the 1 John 3 and verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Privilege to be called the children of God, the son of God. We think about the importance. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Peter writes, he says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That hope that is within us. we're all so to preach this hope. Look at 2 Corinthians 3 and in verse 12. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 12. And he says here, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Some versions use the word boldness. And he's not talking about arrogance here, but this hope that we have. Boldness, not arrogance, is very important. One last passage to look at, Romans, the 5th chapter. In Romans 5, and starting in verse 1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Question this morning, do you have hope? If you don't have hope, you can have hope when you leave here. You can make your life right with the Lord today just by obedience. God has done everything that He needs to do. He gave His Son. Jesus died for us, He shed His blood, and all He asked is for us to obey Him, to follow Him, and to serve Him with all our heart and have that hope. I don't think there's anyone present that don't know what they need to do. You can make that right with the Lord any day, but I'm going to tell you, today is the only day that you have. You don't have tomorrow. You don't know that tomorrow will come. You don't know where you will get home today. And I can't stand the thought of eternity burning in hell fire. That's not taught a lot today. Hell fire is a reality. God means for us to understand and get our attention. So whatever your case might be today, whether it's like Chris that walked in and he didn't have the hope, he made that right. The Bible teaches that, to come back, to repent. That's what was told to Simon the sorcerer, to repent and ask God. And I'm so glad to have you back. Glad to have you, brother. Hope you work with us, that we can help you and you help us. So if you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come and together we stand.